It's never just about faith. It's how you actually live. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Dube, good afternoon to you. Welcome back and thank you very much for talking to us.
Afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, thank you very much, Pastor. Today we're talking about faith and salvation, and our best efforts can never be good enough, we're told, to earn salvation. That should be simple enough. But God declares us righteous for Christ's sake. Our curiosity is the relationship between faith and salvation. How are faith and salvation connected, Mfundisi?
Okay, faith and salvation. This is a very combination to our discourse over the week. I'm not going to waste much of the time, but let's just delve into the text that we want to use, which is Ephesians 2, verse 8, I think to verse 9, which says, we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and not by our own efforts or works. I've just paraphrased it. So basically, this is doing away with works. But I want us to approach this text in four ways that I'm going to illustrate just now as we're trying to understand the link between faith and salvation. So there's the first approach which the world would take this in, which I would like to call is believism, which this theory states that the relationship of faith, works, and security is just says that you are saved by faith and excludes works. And in this line of thinking, it says that if you profess in Christ and subsequently renounce your faith, just after professing that you believe in Christ and you renounce the faith and turn back to your old ways, you are saved already, because initially you had professed yourself to Christ. But you find that this approach would fail because it ignores the need for a changed life, as advocated by Ephesians 1, verse 4, which says we should be blameless and holy before God. Another approach that I want us to look into is that when people say one must have faith in continued obedience to be saved. So if there's faith in continued obedience for one to get salvation or to be saved. But this approach also does not adequately explain the teaching of Scripture that we are saved by grace through faith, and that salvation is something that takes place like here and now, not just when Christ comes to take his own. You see also that this approach would fail because it adds works to faith as a means of salvation, and it denies security that is guaranteed by grace for the person to be saved. So I've just talked about two approaches at the moment. The first approach I used was when people say that you're saved by faith to the exclusion of works, which means you are just saved if you take Christ and accept Christ as your personal savior, and then tomorrow you wake up doing something else which is against Christ, you've already been saved. But this doesn't also follow Ephesians 1, verse 4. And the second approach that I've just alluded to is to have faith and continued obedience. So the reliance on the second approach is on the continued obedience, where it adds works to faith as a means of salvation. The third approach that we want to look into is that a person is saved by faith, but they must also somehow maintain their salvation through a combination of faith and works. This is to say you may be saved and the four elements of salvation might be imparted and imputed on you. That is justification, born again, adoption, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But then, with all this, you can also be lost. You see, this approach does take seriously Scripture's warning against sin, because you are saved by faith, but you're also maintaining your own salvation, maintaining your salvation through a combination of faith and works. But it falls short because it places on human beings the duty of maintaining salvation instead of putting it on Christ where it belongs, which brings me to the fourth approach, the final approach, I might say, which says, now, people are saved by faith. Not all the approaches are saying we are saved by faith, but this faith on the fourth approach is based on the merit of Jesus Christ who died for us. And it is a great exchange between our sins that was placed on Christ and his righteousness that is imparted and imputed on us. So the result of being born again and the indwelling of God's Spirit is that he begins to change from the inside out. And the inner change would also bring an outward visibility. And this outward visibility would be seen through continued faith and increasing obedience. So this goes on to say, if one professes to have faith in Christ but offers no evidence of a changed life, then we have good reason to suspect that the initial profession might not have been genuine. So you find the fourth appeal or the fourth approach is the biblical approach, where it alludes to Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. We are saved by faith, not by our own good works. Yet we are saved to do the good works. So you see, we are saved by grace, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. But once we have found the grace, we have also being saved to do the good work, which is verse 10. So the link between the two is faith leads, grace rather, gives us strength to be obedient and to increase, to grow in the gift of faith that God would have bestowed upon us. I bring it back to you.
So I'm curious now, Mvundis, when we are talking about faith, what in having faith prepares us for the coming of Jesus?
Get that?
What in having faith prepares us for the coming of Jesus?
Okay. Having faith gives us it strengthens our. Remember when we defined faith, we said it is a commitment, a vow. A covenant loyalty. So a vow to be faithful. And as we wait for the second coming of Christ, we have a covenant that we have got into, that we have to be faithful to. And we can only stay in this covenant through faith. You know, when remember, we also said, when people are saying, what are you guys doing? Which is foolishness to them. Faith strengthens us to wait for Christ, who is the person that we're waiting for. So you cannot wait for Christ without exhibiting faith or increasing faith.
Okay, all right. So did Jesus have faith too?
Well, that's a very good question. But let me be quick to say, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, it is saying, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ to do in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance as our way of life. So how did God prepare this way? It was through Christ. So if we are expected to have faith and walk in the way Christ did, then it goes on, it follows also that he had faith that we have to exhibit in God.
So your answer is yes, so did Jesus have faith?
You say?
So your answer is yes, Jesus did have faith.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Let me give you an opportunity to give us your closing remarks, Mvundis, since it is our last time together. Go ahead.
All right, let us bow our heads in prayer, close our eyes. Our Father, who art in heaven, we want to thank you this afternoon for showing us the way of grace and salvation. There's no way, Lord, that we will be saved without being obedient to the laws and biddings of your grace. Help us to live a life that shows we have committed our lives to you. And through these works, the whole world can be brought to the cross and you save all and none is lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, man, thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really appreciate your time. Our time together this week has been very beneficial. We really appreciate your ministry, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful Sabbath.
Same to you. Goodbye.
It's not just music. It's your way of life. How you live. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.